Let's go, since I turn my iPad on. Romans 12, we're going to share the first two verses out of the Amplified Classic. Very familiar passage. When I was a youth director, I used to refer to these as the beat-up scriptures because that's what folks did with them. But they're not beat-up scriptures. The scriptures to help us, to shape us, to form us, and to become who God wants us to be. But the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Rome, he said, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. There's more to that scripture than this is the way we should act. Much more. This is something we need to read over and over and over, because if you think about the last sentence in here, it says that we'll prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight. That which is good and perfect in His sight, not in our sight. And we don't spend enough time thinking about, God, what's good in your sight. We focus more on doing things that we like, doing things that we think are good. But the key is doing it in His sight and not ours. We need to prove to ourselves that we can let our lives be a demonstration of what's good and acceptable and perfect according to God. And that requires something of us. I'm going to read Romans 12, 1, 2 again, but at this time I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. It says it a little differently. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices. Why did he say surrender? Surrender means you're in opposition and someone decides they're just going to give up. Well, we were in opposition. Some of us still are in opposition because it's God's will. It's what's good in His sight, not ours. And we war against that. We need to surrender and say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. So he says, I encourage you to surrender yourself to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Here we go. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. We read over that part. It says a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will. Remember, we said it's God's will, not our will, and we need a means to know the difference. Well, when we have a total reformation of how we think, we'll become empowered to discern God's will. And as the scripture says, as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Now, there's some interesting words in that passage. First one is transformed. It says, be transformed. What does that mean? Well, this is one case where the dictionary and the concordance are very close. Transform means to change in composition or structure. To change your outward form or appearance. Transformed. To change in character or condition. Transformed. We read in the Passion Translation said a total reformation. Listen to this. Reformation. To put or change into an improved form or condition. To amend or improve by change of form or removal of faults or abuses. Now listen to this one. Talking about reformed. To put an end to an evil by enforcing or introducing a better method or course of action. Reformed. I believe I have one more. To induce or cause to abandon evil ways. Paul said we need a total reformation of how we think. Why? Because some of our thoughts produce evil ways. We needed a better course of action. We need to put an end to evil. And he said, in order to do that, you must change the way you think. Why? Well, the scripture says that the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we are who we think we are or what we think we are, that's what we're going to become. Unless we put a total reformation of how we think and stop thinking things that are not godlike or godly, according to his standards, not according to ours. See, when we work with our standards, we use terms that sound spiritual, but they're not. Like, God don't like ugly. You know, God never said that. He never created ugly. And as a matter of fact, when after creation, it says he looked at everything he made and it was very good. So he didn't make anything that was ugly. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That sounds good. But there are a whole lot of clean sinners out there. We want to induce or cause ourselves to abandon evil ways. We have to have a reason to abandon the evil ways. He told us in 2 Corinthians 6:17 in the Amplified Classic Bible, he said, come out from among unbelievers and separate, sever yourself from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing, then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. So if we're going to be transformed, we're going to have to separate ourselves, we're going to have to sever some relationships, and stop handling unclean things, so we can be received kindly and treated with favor. Now, in order to be transformed, well, let me show you this. I've had this for a while. Keep it on the desk, on the shelf in my office. This is a piece of balsa wood. And I guess it looks all right. It's very light, but it can't do anything. It has to go where, stay where you place it. It has no form. It's just there. Well, in order for this to be transformed, it has to want to be transformed, and there are things it has to agree with. God doesn't see this as this block of balsa wood. God sees it as a beautiful glider. This glider is made from balsa wood. Take a block of balsa wood, and you do some shaping, some shifting, some redesigning, some repositioning, and this is what you have. Something that can fly. But this will never happen unless this makes some concessions. This block of balsa wood has to agree to be reshaped, reformed, and repositioned. It has to realize that in order to become what it wants to become, it can't take all of it with it. There's some parts of it that have to be cut off and left behind. It has to agree to be cut into pieces and reformed into something that it never seen, something that it probably never knew was possible to become. He thought, I'm just going to sit, not only am I going to be a block of balsa wood, I'm going to be a balsa wood tree, and that's the way I'm going to be for my entire existence. Not if you're willing to yield to God's plan for your life. But there's some things that you're going to have to do. See, the positions, when these positions were fashioned and they had to be replaced, the manufacturer didn't ask the wing, do you want to be a wing? And if you do you want to be in the front wing or do you want to be the back wing, the tail wing? What do you tell me, what do you want to do? What will make you happy? No, he didn't do that. He determined where you need to be, and he placed you there. The scriptures tell us that God placed members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And he did so there'd be no schism. That means so that the body would all get along, and they would have the same care one for another. They would realize if the wing decides that I don't want to be a part of the body, the body can't move. It needs the wing, and it doesn't need the wing in the tail plate. The wing needs to be where it was designed to be. And that's where it was placed, and that's where it needs to stay. There's one person at the controls. The balsa wood had no say in who was going to be in control. All it had to do was agree that the one making it and the one controlling it are the ones that know what's best. So in order to get from this balsa wood to this balsa wood glider, there had to be a revelation. I have to change. They have to get to the revelation that if I'm going to be better, I'm going to have to do better. If I'm going to do better, I'm going to need to allow someone else to come in and reshape me, reform me, so that I can be what God designed me to be. There is a, I don't know if there's a cart, it's a cartoon, it used to be, I think they're still around, Transformers. Someone told me Transformers are robots in disguise. But I started thinking about that, and I was wondering, when these robots transform, is it permanent? No. If the situation is right, they go back to being a robot in disguise. And they just go, they transform, they go back, they transform, they go back. Well, there are too many of us as believers do the same thing. We're not robots in disguise. I was going to say we're Christians in disguise, but I'm not ready to say that yet. And I'll tell you why. If you're a robot in disguise, that's what you were created to be from the beginning. We weren't created like that. We were designed to be made in the image and likeness of God and stay that way. Think about the caterpillar. Because I was up Saturday evening and I was thinking about this. I started to pull out some reference materials, but I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I'd have been up all night. But just think about the caterpillar. We see caterpillars in the summer all over the place. Yet caterpillars are not born to reproduce. They're not. They're born to produce butterflies. One caterpillar, one butterfly. That caterpillar was not created to fly. It was created to be an agent, an assist, a help meet, a source, a resource for a creature that's supposed to fly. Caterpillars reproduce butterflies by being transformed into one. You think about that. Folks don't like caterpillars. They're ugly. Anyone ever seen a cute caterpillar? They're ugly. I guess God doesn't like them. But their existence isn't to stay caterpillar, it's to become a butterfly. And they become a butterfly by being transformed. And once they're transformed, they never go back to being a caterpillar. They don't go, they stay butterflies. So unlike the transformers, once they transform, they stay that way. Well, how does that affect us, and why am I telling you this? I didn't submit this scripture to you folks, and you don't have to bring it up, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. I think I printed that in the Passion. No, I didn't. But the Bible tells us in the Passion Translation that we have to, if all things from our past are erased. I'm paraphrasing it. So if it's erased, what do you have to go back to? It's not there. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget my past. I forget it. It's like it doesn't exist. This glider doesn't fly around wishing it could go back to being a block of wood, just lying somewhere. It does what it's supposed to do as a glider. When we received Christ, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. We've been transformed into something new. Why do we want to ever go back to that? We have to be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how we think. That's just a nice way of saying we need to appreciate what we've become and let that stay in the forefront of my mind. I can't do this anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I may have done that in my past, but my past is over. My past is done. It doesn't exist anymore. So I keep moving forward because that's where my future is. I have no future in my past. That's not who I was supposed to be. That's not who I was supposed, what I was supposed to become. Once I receive Christ, now I'm where I'm supposed to be. Now I'm moving to what I'm supposed to become. I'm not going back. I've been transformed. I think differently. I think differently. There's sometimes, what's the right word? I'll allow something to agitate me. I'll say it that way. Because it can't agitate me on its own. I have to allow it. And I think to myself, they would have never said that to Foots. Never. Never, ever, ever. And then I say, but it doesn't matter because Foots doesn't exist anymore. And now, Foots overcame evil with greater evil. But this new creature in Christ Jesus does what the Bible says, overcomes evil with good. Let God prepare a table for me in the presence of those who think they're my enemies. But as far as I'm concerned, I have one enemy, the devil. That's it. Everyone else has the potential to be my brother or sister in Christ, and they should be treated as such. I've come out from among them, I've separated myself from them, so that I stand as a glider. I allowed myself to be reshaped, reformed, repositioned, given a new attitude, and I'm not changing back. Philippians 3:12, I mentioned it, I want to read it. In the Passion Translation, Apostle Paul said, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength. There is nothing that this wood could have done to become a glider on its own, nothing. He had to allow someone else with the plan to come and reform, reshape, gently, not with rough hands like I just did, so that it could become what God intended it to be. Stay there. Don't depend on your own strength to try and accomplish it. All you have to do is have one focus. The Passion Translation calls it one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Whose future? Well, it's your future, but God has already planned it out. He's the one that said, I know the plans, said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and an expected end. So why would I try and do this transformation by myself? I don't have the plans for it. Why are we trying to change our life into something that we think we want to be? Even if it is something we want to be, we don't have the plans for it. God has planned out every detail of every second of our life. It's all been pre-planned. He knows how we're going to respond. He knows how he's going to have to help us. He knows. We have to make a choice to allow ourselves to be transformed by changing the way we think, have a total reformation of the way we think, so that our thoughts, our purposes line up with the one who had the original purpose and plan for our life. And once we realize that and allow them to line up with what we want to line up with God's plans, then we just have to yield and let him do it. Once a decision was made, all this block of Bolsonwood had to do was be present and available. He didn't have to do anything on its own. He had to just be there, and God did the rest. The remaining pieces of this couldn't run behind it saying, don't leave me, I want to be a part of it. No, this is what was needed to complete you. That's all that was needed. The rest that was left over, you don't need. I remember many, quite a few years ago, the ministry had a school, Love Christian Academy, and I was assigned to teach chapel. And I taught a chapel lesson called Microwave Popcorn, because it talked about following instructions. And on its bag of popcorn, there were two instructions that I found interesting. One, the next to the last instruction, said, do not attempt to repop the unpop kernels. Do not attempt to do that. And I said, God, why do you help me to read this? And when I say that, the children there, they're gonna wonder, why not? How do I answer that? This is what he said. Do not attempt to repop unpop kernels, because for whatever reason, they want for you. There's some things that are going to pop up in your life that you're going to have to let go for you to be transformed, because they're not for you. For whatever reason, they're not for you. And on this particular brand of popcorn, the last instruction I thought was really cool. You've done all the other steps in the instruction list. The last instruction was enjoy. Enjoy. And I took away from that, I said, so if I follow God's plan to the letter, in the end, all I have to do is enjoy. But if I don't enjoy, the first thing I'm going to do is be threatened because I didn't get all the popcorn available, because I have these kernels at the bottom that just won't pop. And I'll forget the abundance in the bowl, worrying about the 12, 15, well, I counted, one time I counted over 20. I'm like, that's a lot of popcorn. it pales in comparison to what I had by following the instructions. When you follow God's instructions, you wind up with more than enough. But you can't depend on your own strength. You don't want to do that. You want to forget your past and fasten your heart to the future. Didn't say fasten your head. Didn't say fasten your wants and desires. Fasten your heart to the future. Let your heart long after the things that God has for it. And let it fasten to that. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So you want to let God's plan become the abundance of your heart and transform yourselves, ourselves, so that we can become what God has for us. Because that when we started out, I said, it's not our plan. It's not our interpretation. It's God's will. You'll stay transformed if you forget all your past and place your focus in your future. Verse 14 says, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. It says, I run straight for the divine invitation. Doesn't run all over the place. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, Lord, point my feet, place them where you want on the path. And once they're on that path, you keep going. Distractions are going to come. You're like a horse with blinders on. You're not going to look at the distraction because you're focused wholly on the prize. How can I do that? You've been transformed. You've renewed your mind. You believe that you're to become that which God said you are to become. And you're not going to let anything get in your way. Verse 15, Paul said, so let all who are fully mature have the same passion, the same drive. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And I was wondering, why would the scripture say that? Because remember I said sometimes when you go, you're going alone. And you're going to want other people to go. And you will delay moving down the path because you want to take out some other people who mean something to you, who have a part of your life, you want them to go with you. Well, the Bible doesn't say that you can reveal it to them. The best thing you can do is follow the path for your life, and God will reveal it to them. But verse 16 says, let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. So just like God had to come up with a plan just for you and for me. He has a plan for them also, but there's some things they have to do first in order to realize that plan. They have to surrender themselves. They have to have a reference, start transforming themselves by changing the way they think. They have to start thinking, I want what God wants. The same God that changed you, I want to change me. What do I have to do? And God will tell them, and you can advance together. Or they'll catch up. One of the things that my wife said when we first met, she was saying that because I wasn't born again at all. And when we knew that there was something cooking between us, And I wasn't willing to go to church. I said I would go one time. Wasn't going to feel anything. No ghost was going to come upon me. And she said, well, God, if he's the one, how can he be the one if he's not saved? And if he did get saved, he knows nothing about you and living this life. She said, God told her, what makes you think I can't put in him in a minute what it took you 2 years to gain? Now, I didn't go back and say, I'm a minute man. You had to wait 2 years. I just found out what I was supposed to do and did it. Said, God will let me live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Why? Because I've allowed myself to be transformed. I allowed myself to stop being a blockhead and be someone that can soar through anything. Glide wherever God's wind takes me. But that didn't happen by accident. It happened that because I gave in to the plan that God had for my life. And the first part in that plan was being transformed. Being transformed. So he can change into his image from the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, from glory to glory. He's making me more holy as I change into his Spirit, into his image, excuse me, by the Spirit of God. That's what we want to do. We want to be empowered. We want a beautiful life. I want to share this one. I have said, but I'm just going to do this last one. Second Corinthians 3:18. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured, transformed into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Folks, allow yourselves to be transformed, changed into his image by changing the way we think. We have to be better at understanding that we are spirit beings and that the Spirit of God does live inside of us and is guiding us. We just need to listen. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for the word you've shared with us this evening, Lord. And thank you that we still have the Holy Ghost to give us the revelation of the word you shared and to highlight areas that we need to let go. Highlight situations we need to back away. Highlight people who we need to come out from among them and be separate. We need to stop touching and looking at those things that are unclean, because we want what you want for us in our lives. We want to become the person, the people that you said we are. Thank you, Lord, for sticking with us. As we change the way we think, we'll do a better job sticking with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Mr. Pastor Greg, that sounds good. What do I do next? How do I start the process? Well, if you haven't done so, the first thing you need to do is receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Why do I need to do that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father unless they go through me. No one. No one. Well, how do you get to him? Well, that's easy. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. You talk your way into it. So why don't you just say this after me? Father God, I believe that you're God. Everybody, just say it. I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was crucified, that he went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you. I am this block. I want to become a plane. I know you can make something new of me. So I yield to you now. I ask you to come into my heart. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance. And I'm starting now to change the way I think. Make something new of me, Jesus. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that heartfelt confession and you meant it, according to the word of God, you just got born again. And we'd like to congratulate you, so we say congratulations. You are now my brother, my sister in Christ. Just like to know who you are. And the easiest way to do that is to use the contact information that's on your screen. And you say, I said that confession with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. I've been cut off the tree. What's next? How do I change into the glider? Because I want what God wants for me. And when we get to your correspondence, we will respond to it. We'll send you new free information as to who you've become in Christ and lay out the next steps for you. I'm going to suggest right now that you pray and ask God to direct you to a Bible-believing church. We believe this is a great church here, but God may not want you here. But he'll direct you to a church, a Bible-teaching church, where you will be taught the Word of God, and it will assist you in your transformation from this to this. And if you have any questions about what we talked about tonight, or things in general, use the same contact information and contact me. You contact me, I promise you I will respond. May not be the same day, but you will get a response from me personally. I promise.